Attention entrepreneurs and business owners. It's time to stop working so hard, start working smart, and build a business that stands on its own.
Generate real wealth, real freedom,
and a real legacy.
Now from New York City, small business champion and business attorney, helping thousands of entrepreneurs generate hundreds of millions of dollars. Here's Nina Kaufman, and this is the Cash Out Big Podcast.
Hey, how are you? Nina Kaufman here, and welcome to Cash Out Big. Hope you are doing well. And wherever you're listening to us right now, whether it's at your desk at the end of the day or in the family room, all the kids are playing Xbox, or maybe you're in the train as you're going to your office, I'm glad you're here with us today. Thanks for tuning in. And here on Cash Out Big, we're wanting to share those tips and tools and tactics, say that 10 times fast, tips and tools and tactics, that can get you out of the mix so that your business can really start to generate that money flow, the freedom for you and the legacy that you've always wanted. Because we know from many of you that the goal is to have a business running like a well-oiled machine. That's something that we talk about in our Cash Out Big video training at businessexponential.com. It's to make sure that you can take that time out so that you can live your life and run your business, not have your business run your life, right? So today we're going to have Dina Dwyer Owens on the show. I'll tell you a little more about her background in a minute. And she's going to talk to us about the importance of having a code of values as a real anchor for our businesses. Because while the goal may be to have it run like a well-oiled machine, very often our businesses are running amok. But when you have a code of values, when you have guiding principles, there's always that square one to come back to recalibrate yourself, to say, is this really the direction that I want to be going in? And in thinking about values, one of the values that's always been important to me that I've strived and maybe not always succeeded, but really have wanted that to be a watchword for me is integrity, that my word should be my bond. And I got that from my father. He worked for a family business, a very closely held business, and the owner had a bit of a spending problem, so much so that they couldn't always pay their vendors. And while my father kept bringing this to the owner's attention, saying, you know, we can't do this, we've got vendors, we've got our employees, there are all of these other obligations that we have, the owner would say, thank you very much, that's very nice, and he would continue to go out spending on art and vacations and boats and whatever else he was spending it on. And there reached a point where I remember my father saying to me, he couldn't stay at that company anymore. He said to me, Nina, these vendors are relying on my word. That is the only reason they continue to do business with this company. So I can't, in good conscience, give them their word that they're going to be paid or that they're going to be paid timely or that they'll be paid in full. And then, because somebody else is actually holding the purse strings, not be able to do that. So my father chose to resign from a lucrative position at the height of his career, rather than have his reputation be tarnished for not being a man of integrity. And that's a very powerful story for me. It's a very powerful lesson for me. And it's part of what guides my business. So I'm really happy to have Dina Dwyer Owens on the show because she's going to talk about the code of values that guide her business. And her business is the Dwyer Group, which includes 14 franchise service brands in more than 2,600 locations across the globe, and they're averaging more than $1.4 billion in system-wide sales each year. But what she credits that growth to is what she calls her Live Rich, R-I-C-H foundation that we're going to be talking about, and how that code of values has inspired the employees, inspired the franchise owners, and really gotten everyone on the same page, working for growth with integrity. I met Dina recently at an Exit Planning Institute conference, and she was such a passionate speaker about how to make the workplace a better place. And I am just delighted to have her here on Cash Out Big. Dina, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Nina. It's a thrill.
And, you know, when I was preparing for the interview, I wanted to delve into top strategies because you're really at the helm of a billion-dollar company with multiple franchise brands. But as I was reading your books, Live Rich and Values, Inc., what struck me is that it's not even so much the business model that's the foundation, it's the values. The business model could be anything. The services could be anything, but it's having that core that seems to be the through line. So how did those evolve? I mean, it's not all of a sudden you came out and said, okay, it's Tuesday, we're going to live rich. where did those start?
It started a long time ago. So in 1981, our founder, Don Dwyer, who happens to be my father, founded the Dwyer Group with one brand. Rainbow International back then was a carpet dyeing and cleaning company, was franchised. But Don had always studied leadership, and he wanted to know what made great leaders great. And there were two common themes that he uncovered. One was they worked hard to be their best authentic self, right? Every day they wanted to be better than they were the day before. The second thing was that they had clearly written values. And no matter who they worked with, people always understood what their values were. So when he began the Dwyer Group in 81, he began with a clearly written set of values. But they were more emotionally based beliefs. Nina, they were things like loyalty has meaning to our lives. Kind of hard to measure, you know, at the end of the day. Was I really as loyal as he expected me to be? So unfortunately, just after taking the company public in 93, Don passed away of a sudden heart attack. And our biggest fear as a management team was, how do we keep this culture special? We know the values were the driver, and Don drove the values. So how do we create a set of values, much like we do with franchise systems? You know, we're in the franchising business, and what we do is take what's most important to business and we create systems around it so it can be replicated. So we came up with what we coined the operationalized code of values, which are more values statements than just simply values. And the theme of rich is the four core areas of respect, integrity, customer focus, and having fun. But below each one of those core areas, we have very specific value standards.
And how did you finally hone in on those four pillars, respect, integrity, customer focus, and having fun, as, all right, this really is who we are, what we stand for, what's at the core of all that we do?
It's who we've always been. So it's a matter of just being thoughtful about, how do we take Don's original belief system and convert those into very specific and clear values, where anybody working for us or any franchisee who was thinking of joining us or joined us would understand, this is how we do it here, right? And we're not perfect, so I will say very clearly, we are not a perfect company. We're a company run by a lot of wonderful human beings, but we do make mistakes. But the bottom line is we have these clearly laid out expectations, and you can hold yourself accountable to those, and we also hold one another accountable.
And how do you make sure that those values, once you've written them down, become more than words, become more than the thing that you have on the inspirational poster that's posted somewhere in the lobby, that's part of the annoying screensaver on every employee's desktop?
And that is so true. Unfortunately, 95% of the companies in North America, based on our studies, have a written set of values, and they might call it a code of ethics. The sad thing is, it is only on the screensaver or on their website or a brochure. Most companies don't take the next step, which is actually creating a system around keeping their values front and center. Again, we're a franchise organization, so this is what we do. Take what's most important and create systems around it so it can be replicated. So with the values, we said, let's not make this complicated. Let's create a simple system. Anytime we have a meeting of three or more of our team members or our franchisees, let's slow down and go around the room and either review all 15 values, we have a lot, or take one value that maybe we need to really work on based on feedback we've received, or maybe highlight somebody on the team who just got some great feedback because they did such a wonderful job living up to one of the values. It's just keeping them front and center, right? Top of the mind every single day in our business.
Wow. And how do you, I mean, how do people create this? I mean, it seems like such a big, vast task. There are so many things that, as I look at my business, I know my clients have looked at theirs. You can have a laundry list of 20 different values, but really coming to the heart of what truly is core and then living that is another matter. What is the system for doing that?
Yeah, I know it does seem scary to folks because it does seem so big, but there's a really simple method that I put in place. And if people are interested, they can go to dinadwyerowens.com, and I have a free workbook. It's called the Create Your Culture Workbook. They can also invest in Values Inc., which really takes you deep into how values really make a difference, right? They do translate into financial results because people worry about that too. They're just warm and fuzzy. They don't really matter as you're building a business, you know, and we've got to make a living building our businesses. So I would encourage people to go through that system. The first step is really sitting down, and I would sit down with your core team members, sitting down and really being thoughtful about, what do we stand for? You know, if people were to describe us, what would they say about us? What would we say about ourselves? And that's where you start. And I've got, again, a very simple workbook that can take you through this thought process. So that's kind of step one. And then you gather back together as a team after you've put some thought to this and really dig in and net it out. Because you can't have 20, but 20 is really too much, isn't it? When we say we have 15 values, it's really four core values, respect, integrity, customer focus, and having fun. But below each one of those, we have very specific expectations, and we call them values statements. So we know exactly what we mean by respect. So there's no question what we mean by respect or integrity. So I would suggest that people try to net it out. 10 is probably enough when you come to just core values, you know, the words of truth, honesty, integrity, customer focus, whatever it might be. But then be clear about what you mean by those specific values.
And that's a great point, because I think with big concepts like integrity, well, what does that mean in practice? You know, what does that mean in terms of dealing with customers? If you're handling customers in integrity, what does that look like so that, you know, because we come with different senses of integrity when you have a lot of people involved in an organization.
And it's interesting that, for example, one of our value statements under integrity is making only agreements we're willing, able, and intend to keep. And that is an important one, right? So if you've got employees that are making agreements they don't intend to keep, that's a problem, and it's going to come back and hurt the reputation of your business. And I'm finding, I mean, it's fascinating in working with millennials. They actually love that kind of clarity. It really works for them.
Wonderful. Yes, because you could be very willing and very intentional, but maybe not able. And that requires you to be honest with yourself about what can you truly deliver to the customer, and how are you conveying that. So as people are dealing with strategic planning, it's now toward the end of the year. Is your feeling that values comes first, and then we worry about all the business strategies and how we're going to get our profit lines and all of that? Is that usually a good place to start?
Values are the differentiator. I was on the phone the other day with a friend of mine, and we were talking about how companies worry so much about disruptive technology today. And we decided that values are a disruptor, because most companies don't have clearly written values. And, you know, people can have all kinds of great technology, but you know what? If they can't live up to their promise, whatever that promise might be with their technology, it doesn't matter anyways. They can spend $110 million creating an app, but if there's not consistency in how they deliver the service or the product, there's a problem. So I would say number one is having clarity of your values, and then figuring out a way to keep your values front and center. It's one thing to have them written down, and we know that a lot of people have that. The problem is most people haven't taken the next step, which is how do we execute it, and how do we make it a way of life in our organization?
Great. And how do those tie in with maybe the top one or two strategies the Dwyer Group has used to expand and become such a strong, profitable company?
It's funny how the values bring us back to the answers to those questions, too, because when you think about how you create the trust of a potential acquirer, so somebody looking to acquire us, like a private equity company. Today, we have a wonderful partner in the Riverside company, and they bought us back for the second time, Nina, because they understand our culture, and they love our culture, and that they know we have a strong management team who works hard to live up to that culture, and then we have these wonderful growth opportunities as a franchise organization. So we've attracted great private equity partners because of our values. We also attract great future franchisees because of our values. So when somebody's considering a franchise opportunity, they usually look at a number of franchise opportunities. I can't tell you how many times I've heard from that franchisee who has said, Nina, but the final decision was, you were a company I could trust. So what happens when you have clear values and the people work hard to live by those, but admit their mistakes when they make them, because we will all make mistakes. There's this level of trust that's created that's so powerful, and that creates a reputation. That reputation creates referrals. Those referrals help grow your business. It's not that hard, right? Do what's right. Do right by people, and it's amazing what happens.
Right. What do they say? It's simple, but it's not easy for some reason.
That's exactly right. Because you got to hire right? And you also have to attract the right, in our case, the right franchisees who represent your brand.
Right. So that leads actually into another question. What are you looking for when you're looking at possible acquisitions, you know, people to bring under the Dwyer Group brand as a franchise? What are some of the things that you're looking for and that makes them attractive in your eyes?
Yeah, thank you for asking that, because it gives me a chance to applaud our CEO, Mike Bidwell, and the amazing team that we have working at Dwyer. We have grown our company 50% in the last 2 years, and we're a 35-year-old company. And that's exceptional. And much of that has been done through organic growth, but we've also had the opportunity to acquire amazing brands like Molly Maid and Mr. Handyman, Five Star Painting. We just recently acquired Window Genie, which is a window washing company. So what we look for are companies that we believe are a cultural fit, because we'd have a really hard time buying a company that wouldn't agree with our values and trying to bring them into our home. It would be very, very difficult. So we're looking for groups that have a good cultural fit, but we also need companies that complement our menu of services. So when you think about the Dwyer brands, they're all brands who can come into your home, Nina, or your small business and take care of just about any needs you have, from your heating and air conditioning to your plumbing to appliance repairs, to cleaning your carpets and doing your yard, snow removal in your case this time of the year. Mm-hmm. So we're looking for companies that complement that menu of service and that they're already existing franchise businesses who have great unit economics. So we're interested in businesses that have already established themselves and proven that their franchisees can, in fact, be successful. And then we bring the value add of our infrastructure, our brain trust, and we take those businesses to the next level, which is good for everybody.
Right. Terrific. And what is it about franchise ownership? I know with some business owners and a lot of the listeners on our podcast are more like business type consulting firms where they've created it themselves. It's part of it's their intellectual capital that goes into it. And there's sometimes something about franchising that feels a little like snake oil. but clearly yeah. You've been steeped in it for many years. So what is it about franchise ownership that you feel can give entrepreneurs a leg up, whereas they might not have that creating a company from scratch themselves?
Yeah, creating a company from scratch today, of course, is harder than ever. If you think just about one complexity comes to mind is social media. You know, as a small business owner, how do you decide what you're supposed to do? Are you supposed to tweet? Are you supposed to do Instagram? Are you supposed to do LinkedIn? And how much money do you invest in these? And what's SEO? So we have, we have people coming to us that have been in the, let's just call the heating and air conditioning business for 30 years, and they're losing their minds. They know how to fix heating and air conditioning units, but they don't know how to run a company today because it's so complex. So at franchise, good franchisors, now I'm sorry to hear that there's still that mindset by some that it's a bit like snake oil. That's the impression we had about private equity too until we got to meet some really great private equity folks, the Riverside Company and TZP. There are good folks out there, but you have to find them. So it's really about, again, systems for success. And anybody considering a franchise, they just need to do their homework. Like anybody should do their homework. When we first merged with the Riverside Company back in 2003, we went public to private. I did my homework. I checked every reference Riverside gave me, and then I said, I want more. I want to talk to the CEOs that are no longer part of your company because you fired them. You know, I want to talk to them too. And the big question was, how likely are you to do business with them again, or would you do business with them again? Every single one of them said yes. So in the case of franchisors, anybody considering franchising should go take a look at the corporate headquarters of the franchisor. Get to know the people because you can really feel a culture, right? It either is what they're saying it is on the website or it's not. And then go visit franchisees or at least get on the phone and talk to franchisees. But what makes franchising so powerful, it takes so much of the guesswork out of how to run a successful business in X industry. And more than 300 industries are represented today in franchising. But you got to do your homework.
Right. And where do franchisees maybe fall down in running a successful franchise?
The biggest challenge we run into, you have franchisees who are entrepreneurial in many ways. So they'll come in and they'll think, well, you know, they told me that I need to do it this way, this system, but I'm going to try it this way. And it doesn't work. It's kind of like we're in Texas here, so it's kind of like going out and buying a new truck and pulling the transmission out of the truck and then getting frustrated because the truck's not working. It's the same thing with a franchise. Don't invest in a franchise business and then pull parts of the system out of the business and expect it to have the same success you hoped for, because it's not going to work. And it may be a very small part of the system, but if you leave it out, you know what? You're not going to have the same level of success. So that's the biggest challenge, I think, with most franchisees is they decide to be creative or they become lazy, right? And they don't put the systems in place and they don't stay disciplined about living up to those systems. And then things start to break. And when things start to break, customers become unhappy and it just becomes a very negative domino effect.
You know, it reminds me of a story. I was about 12 years old. It was the day before, a cousin's bat mitzvah. It was a big event. And my mother took me to her hairdresser. And my hair was all done. It was lovely, lovely. And what do? I wash it the next day because I want to see if I can do it just as well. And my mother lost her mind. And there are still horrific photos of me very clearly not having been able to replicate what the professional hairdresser with years of experience was able to do.
That's a perfect part of story.
Yeah, pulling out the transmission. Gee, and let me put it in a different
way. We've even had, and people have admitted this to us, we've had prospective franchisees come to Waco for what we call orientation day. And this is after they've been vetted. So we do a pre-qualification process because not just anybody can be awarded a franchise or one of our brands. We have to be very selective. But I remember a number of really strong franchisees today coming to me after the first day of orientation and admitting, I've been thinking about this franchise for 2 years, but I thought if I just came to visit you guys enough, I could just steal your systems and go back and put them into my business. Because I've had a business for whatever, 9 years, 10 years, whatever it might be. And one guy in particular, he's a character, but he's got a Glass Doctor franchise. And he said, Dina, there is no way I can replicate what you guys have done. In the last 20 years, you put together some amazing systems. And I've been trying for years to do this, and it's not working. I need a franchise, and I need the training that comes with the franchise, and I need the direction and the coaching to keep me inspired about taking it to the next level. Because people can get lackadaisical too, right? They can get comfortable in their business when it gets to a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem as well, because then they're not able to get out there and really grow. So we're here to help coach them up, just like, you know, many of you, your listeners, who are out there consulting and helping businesses be better.
Yep, exactly. And so when it comes to franchise owners, what is their exit strategy? So let's say I buy into a Glass Doctor franchise and I reach a point where I say, I think I'm done. I want to vacation the rest of my life. I want to teach starving children in Ghana, whatever it is. What happens next?
It's another beautiful thing about franchising. You know, when you're out there by yourself and you've got Joe's Plumbing or Joe's Glass Shop, when it comes time to sell it, what does Joe really have to sell? Maybe he's got a customer base, but unfortunately, a lot of those customers did business with it because it was Joe, right? Joe was the guy coming out and doing the glass work. So with a franchise, and we have systems at the Dwyer Group, we help the franchisees in the resale process. So it is an independent business transaction, but we do help them connect up with other potential buyers of their business. And it's really not a hard process at all. You know, you just have to collect the facts. The franchisee's got to provide very good proof of their financial situation. And then we help guide them through that process. I'm thinking about a recent example of a longtime franchisee of Glass Doctor, since you mentioned Glass Doctor. And this guy is just incredible. But he was ready to sell. He had set a target that I'm going to sell my business when it reaches this level. And he wasn't sure what he was going to do after that. But guess what he's going to do? He's going to come work for the Dwyer Group corporate headquarters as a Glass Doctor franchise consultant, because he got so much pleasure out of growing his business and getting the benefit of other franchisees supporting him, because that's another value of being part of a franchise organization, is you've got other people in the business, same business you're in, that are helping you be better. So this guy's going to come in now, and he's going to be a coach of other franchisees in Glass Doctor. And he's so excited about it, and so is his wife.
Oh, wonderful. Terrific.
But others are going off, and they're doing mission work, and they're building churches, and they're retiring and going to the beach. You know, there's all different kinds of reasons why people want to get out of the business.
Right. Yeah, but I can see how it really helped to be aligned with a larger organization, because you also know the pool of people who are interested in possibly purchasing the franchises, because you would be a natural
contact. Yeah, and the beautiful thing, what we find that happens too is in the resale process, many times there's a sophisticated business owner who's coming along who wants to buy, let's just call it the Mr. Electric, which is a trades business. And that savvy business owner may not have started a Mr. Electric from the scratch up because he wasn't a licensed electrician, but he's very interested in buying an existing business that's already built and making sure he's got a licensed electrician on his team. But we find that a lot of savvy business owners want to buy an existing franchise business, especially in our brands, because these are businesses that are mostly recession resistant. You know, no robots are replacing our frontline team members anytime soon. So this is a business that's going to be around a very long time. And that's another great thing about the resale process is we many times attract somebody who's getting out of corporate America because they're tired of that rat race and they want to take control of their destinies. And they're the ones who are coming in and buying these businesses.
Wow, terrific. Now, you've mentioned a number of times in creating the franchise and in your business overall, you need to take what's most important and create systems around it. And certainly for a lot of business consultants and service type terms, it's really hard to identify what's important, because it seems like everything's important. If you don't do, you know, if you don't open the mail properly or get it to the right person's desk, then you're in trouble. So how do you even approach the process of writing down what the systems are or identifying what the most important systems are in the business in order to share that with the rest of the team?
Yeah, and there are a number of many systems that need to be created. But we look at the front stage. So the front stage of your business, when you think about how you interact with the customer, so the way you answer the phones, to the way that you approach the customer's home or business, to the way that you do the job in the customer's home or business, and then how you leave their property when you're done. So to us, on the front stage of the business, those are core systems that you have to have in place. So maybe the training that you do with your technicians is another system that's got to be created, but that's not the most important thing as it relates to, we got to train them first on the frontline steps. How do you get face-to-face with that customer from the moment you answer the phone and book the job to getting out on the job? So that's the front stage stuff. So I say to your listeners, think about the front stage of your business. what's the customer-facing part of your business and what's the most important systems that has to do with that. Then on the backstage, most business owners are really bad at managing their numbers. So I think you really have to have great systems for how to track collections and, you know, all the things related to keeping up with a proper P&L statement and those systems for keeping all that going, because so many small business owners, they don't have a process for collections. Right. You probably have experienced this in some of your coaching as you go, what?
Oh, yeah.
You got like outstanding balances from 6 months ago. What is going on? No wonder why your business is cash flow starving, because you're not collecting the money. You got nobody here following a system to collect the money. So I'd say think about the most important front stage systems first and then the most important backstage systems and do those. And then all the other things can follow those. Marketing is the front stage. You know, so I don't want to skip over marketing. Marketing is the front stage.
Right. But it would sound like within your core values, customer focus being one of them, if I have a choice between what's interacting with the directly interacting with the customer and what's, getting my name out there, it's how am I serving the people that I'm here to serve? And that would come first.
And the amazing thing about that, when you do a great job serving the people, the referrals come. And our franchisees that are really great at that part, they don't have to worry about a lot of advertising. Yes, you still need to continue to advertise your business no matter what, but they have to advertise less because the referrals are keeping them so busy that they're booking out, you know, weeks and weeks in advance. I think about our Mr. Handyman franchisees right now, and some of them are booked out so far ahead because talk about a referral business, right? You talk to your neighbor about, hey, who's that handyman? What's he doing at your house? Well, he's doing this and that and this and that. You know, and you're like, oh, I need that done too. It's just it's incredible.
Wonderful. Great. So, Dina, so as we wrap, I sort of want to take you back in history because, again, a lot of business owners may be thinking about pivoting or making changes. And if I read it correctly, when your father actually started with a franchise selling motivational and management materials, that was his first dip of the toe into the waters of franchising.
Right.
So what made him shift to this other niche of residential and light commercial work?
Great question. He was actually in the entertainment business initially, and we moved out to Hollywood. Six kids in our family, so he moved our family out to Hollywood as he chased the entertainment industry and realized that was not a good business for him to stay in with six young kids and a wife. So he went to a franchise show, and he found this company, SMI, Success Motivation Institute, and he became a distributor. So it's much like franchising, but they call them distributorships. And he became the top distributor within about a year and a half. So he was invited by the founder of that company, SMI, who was based in Waco, to come to Waco to become the vice president of one of his divisions. So that's how we got to Waco. And then my father worked for Paul Meyer for about a year and a half, and he learned so much. Paul Meyer's no longer with us. But if my father and Paul were alive, my father would give great credit to Paul Meyer for so much of the learning that he had about franchising. So my father didn't really like working for somebody else. That wasn't who he was. So he found a franchise business. Back then it was called Guaranteed Systems. And a gentleman was interested in selling a minority interest in that business. So my father bought it. And that was Guaranteed Systems. It was a carpet dyeing and cleaning. And that's where he began franchising in the services. But he had this vision for having a collection of franchise businesses serving the same customer base. And today we have 14 of those. So we're very proud of our team. Again, Mike Bidwell and our team at Dwyer are doing an amazing job serving 6 million customers a year.
That's amazing. That is amazing. Terrific. And Dina, any last words of wisdom for, again, business owners who are wanting to get more systematized in their business, but also, in a way, keep it real? Because for a lot of service business owners, it is that high touch. It's the importance of giving either of themselves or just doing what they do to help others.
If they want to have happier, more fulfilling life, Nina, I would highly recommend they go through the process of creating their cultures. And they might already have a particular culture now, but if they don't have clearly written values and a system for reviewing those values day in and day out, they need to take the next steps. DinaDwyerOwens.com. It's so easy. It's at the very top of the website, free download of Create Your Culture. And I would say make the commitment by the first of the year to get it done. And they'll be amazed at how much easier it is to make difficult decisions in your business, because you've got this rule book now for how you're going to make those decisions, and your team understands that this is how we're going to do it here. So it takes a lot of complexity, but it does take a lot of work in the beginning to figure out what are those values and what are those specific statements or expectations that support those values. And if they have any questions for me, Nina, if they get into that workbook and they have questions, they can go to my website and just send me an email, and I'll do my best to answer their questions.
Terrific. All right, Dina, this has just been a delight and also really eye-opening in terms of understanding how you're putting together the values, how those really are the foundation. I mean, I live in an apartment, so this analogy may be painful as I try to deliver it. But, you know, if the values are really the concrete poor, and it doesn't matter whether you've got a colonial or a Tudor or a bungalow, but whenever you're starting to build your house, you've got to have a solid foundation. And that's where the values come in.
You do, and they can outlast any storm. We've been through, believe me, a lot of storms as we've grown our business over 35 years, right? There's nothing easy about growing a business, but those values have remained that strength that's held our business together. And again, 35 years later, we're growing it at a pace of 50% over the last 2 years. So again, kudos to our team and our franchisees for working hard to live with the values. And anybody can do this. It's just a matter of making the commitment and not getting lazy about it.
Okay. Terrific. Dina, thank you so much for being with us today. Just wonderful to hear from you.
Thank you. Take care.
And thank you for tuning in to Cash Out Big. Is your business running like a well-oiled machine? If not, you need to stop driving yourself crazy and check out our Cash Out Big video training and get your business under control. You can find this and other great resources at businessexponential.com. Go there now, and I'll see you on the next podcast.